The ups and downs continue as the world watches the troubled nuclear plant in Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There are reports this morning that workers are being sent back in to try and cool reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi plant in Japan. They were withdrawn from the plant hours earlier because of surging radiation. Meanwhile, the economic effects of all this continue to ripple across the globe. Many Japanese auto plants are still shut down, which could cause problems for U.S. car makers. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Subaru's canceled overtime shifts at its American plant. It had been running them for more than a year, but now it's worried about running out of parts. Michael McHale is the spokesman for Subaru, and he says the company's trying to assess the situation both here and in Japan.
In the U.S., the majority of our parts are locally sourced, but there are a few critical components that come from Japan. So it behooves us to then go check rather than making cars we can't finish.
He says it'll be days before Subaru knows what kind of shape its Japanese suppliers are in. And even if those suppliers are working, there are big logistical problems like rolling blackouts and damaged roads and ports. Michael Robinette is an auto industry analyst at IHS Global Insight. He says to varying degrees, the global auto industry's supply chain runs through Japan.
Really, there's nobody that is not going to be affected by this at some point.
He says that means production hiccups, not just for the Japanese carmakers, but the big three, the Europeans, and the Koreans, too. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Looks like we may have a federal budget for another few weeks. The House passed a stopgap funding measure yesterday that cuts $6 billion in spending over a three-week period. The measure is expected to be approved by the Senate and signed by the president this week. For more on all this, we're joined now from Washington by the chair of the Senate Budget Committee, Democratic Senator Kent Conrad. Good morning.
Good morning.
How long can these short-term budget measures continue?
Well, they shouldn't continue much longer because it's an incredibly inefficient way to run any large entity, certainly the federal government.
Well, you're one of the six senators who's in this gang of six that may be the best hope, some think, for getting some kind of a compromise on the budget. Are tax increases on the table in that group?
We're borrowing 40 cents of every dollar that we spend. That means if you tried to do this just on the spending side of the ledger, you'd have to cut everything 40%. Social Security, Medicare, defense, that's just not realistic. Revenue is low, expenditures are high, both have to be addressed.
How important do you think it is that this gets solved this year before we get into a presidential election year?
I think it's critically important. The kind of long-range, comprehensive arrangement that is clearly needed, it's just unlikely to happen in a presidential election year. We need to act this year to put in place a plan that begins modestly, but then has big and bold action as you go through the remaining 10 years of the budget cycle.
Do you think that the events that are going on in Japan and in the Middle East and across North Africa have changed the dynamic in terms of our economic recovery?
Yes, I think without question. Rising oil prices threaten the recovery. What's happening in Japan causes another blow to confidence. So I think there's no question that these events that are external are having an adverse effect on our own recovery, which has really been proceeding in a pretty healthy way.
Do you think the Fed should continue its $600 billion bond buying program?
Yes, I do. I think most economists now believe that that has contributed to economic recovery. But again, what is so essential is that we put in place a long-term plan that brings the debt down. And if we do it, it'll pay big dividends for job creation and for opportunity for the people that we all represent.
Democratic Senator Kent Conrad, chair of the Senate Budget Committee, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks finally on the rebound, at least in Asia this morning. Tokyo shares are up more than 5% after yesterday's 10% drop. In Europe, basically flat right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 137 points to close at 11,855.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. and by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Today, another ratings downgrade in Europe. This time, it's Portugal. Moody's has dropped Portuguese debt by two notches. That means it's going to be more expensive for the country to borrow money on the very day it asks investors for more than $1 billion in loans. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now live from London with more. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, how serious is this for Portugal?
It just adds to Portugal's woes. As you say, it's going to make it more expensive for the government to borrow. Moody's just doesn't believe that Portugal's got its debt problem under control. And that's a reasonable assessment. The government just unveiled its latest austerity measures to cut the deficit, big cuts in welfare and healthcare spending. And they went down like a lead balloon. The main opposition party said they'll oppose them. And the government, which is a minority government, could actually fall over this. So a lot of trouble in Portugal.
Well, not just Portugal, Stephen. We heard recently about Spain getting a downgrade and Greece. Is this thing under control yet?
Well, generally, yes. I mean, it does look actually as if Portugal is going to have to be bailed out, but the Eurozone can certainly handle that. Generally, it does look as if the Eurozone is beginning to get to grips with the debt problem. They've made some recent decisions on the bailout fund. But like everyone else, we're now facing what could be a perfect storm with the Japanese disaster and the Arab unrest putting upward pressure on oil prices. So if these tip the European economy back into recession, the Eurozone debt problem will get much worse.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And finally, if I told you that 80% of Americans went on the internet once a week, you'd probably think that number was low. But what if I told you that 80% of Americans under the age of 5 are on the internet once a week? That is the finding from the Joan Gans Cooney Center and Sesame Workshop. All I can say is Marketplace.org is always kid-friendly as long as the kids like quantitative easing. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The fate of the Russian economy is closely linked to the Russian people, and the fate of the Russian people is up in the air.
Our government is at the crossroads. If they do nothing with alcohol and tobacco, the demographic problems would increase.
Telltale signs of a shrinking population. I'm Kai Rizdal. The high costs of poor health in Russia. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.